CCV Summaries of Board Minutes 2014 by Judy Wilkinson, Secretary. Here are minutes for six of the seven meetings of the CCB Board for 2014. Because of space considerations, the lengthy pre-convention minutes for April 10 will be included in the summer issue. In order to save space, I will list all board members here and note only those who were absent from any given meeting. President Donna Pomerantz through June 30, Jeff Tom from July 1st, First Vice President Eugene Lozano, Jr., Second Vice President Roger Peterson, Secretary Judy Wilkinson, Treasurer Peter Pardini, Immediate Past President Jeff Tom through June 30th, and Donna Pomerantz from July 1st. Directors, Artis Bazin, Vincent Calderon, Lena Dawes, David Hanlon through June 30th, David Jackson through June 30th, Paul Patch, Jr. from July 1st, Linda Perrell, John Ross, Frank Welt from July 1st, Robert Wendt, and Vita Zavoli. When a reference to an appendix is made, you can request it from the office. Just let Ed know the meeting date and appendix number. Occasionally, if the information in an appendix is short, it is included in the body of the minutes. Board Meeting, February 10, 2014. President Donna Pomerantz called the meeting to order at 7:05 p.m. Board members John Ross and Robert Wendt were absent. The board entered executive session where legal issues were discussed. The board exited executive session. In that session, Gene Lozano moved and Peter Pardini seconded a motion to approve a proposed letter to California Secretary of State. Jeff Tom moved and Peter Pardini seconded a motion to ratify the previously held email vote confirming the appointment of Margaret Garcia Buckman to the Dr. Newell Perry Trust Committee. The motion carried with one abstention. New business. Linda Perella announced that the Publications Committee is considering asking AIRS LA, the radio reading service for the Los Angeles area, to record the audio version of The Blind Californian. They had three requests. 1. We place a link from our website to theirs. 2. We give them credit for creating the recording. 3. We allow them to place a link to the recording on their site. Discussion followed, and Gene suggested that the Publications Committee bring forward a proposal to the board concerning a connection with AIRS LA. He added that we need a formal contract with them. We unanimously adjourned at 8:13 p.m. Board Meeting, April 6, 2014. President Donna Pomerantz called the meeting to order at 7:02 p.m. Absent, Directors Vincent Calderon, David Hanlon, and Robert Wendt. Approval of past minutes. Peter Pardini moved and Lena Dawes seconded the motion to approve the pro-convention board minutes for October 17, 2013. The motion passed with two abstentions. Peter moved and Lena seconded the motion to approve the conference call minutes for November 6, 2013. The motion passed with two abstentions. Linda moved and Peter seconded the motion to approve the conference call minutes for November 26, 2013. The motion passed with two abstentions. Peter moved and Gene seconded the motion to approve the conference call minutes for December 11, 2013. The motion passed with two abstentions. Judy asked about capturing items in the minutes flagged for further follow-up. Donna asked her to keep track of such items and forward them to the president. Vita moved and Peter seconded the motion to accept the agenda with the addition of discussion of the chapter for the Lakewood chapter. Vote unanimous. The charter will be issued at the convention banquet. John moved and Judy seconded a motion to grant the new chapter the traditional startup amount of $500. Discussion followed. Jeff asked if they will be seated with a delegate. Artis said always in good order. Gene said the president was Michelle Turnett. Peter asked about the number of members. Donna thought 11 or 12. Gene expressed concern that was so close to the minimum number 10 required to form a chapter. John asked about geographical location. No one was totally certain. Somewhere near Long Beach? Artist Donna reminded us that people chapter jump all the time. The board entered and exited executive session. Several legal matters were discussed. No actions were taken. The meeting was adjourned at 8:50 p.m. Board meeting, June 11, 2014. Absent David Hanlon, Judy Wilkinson. The meeting was called to order at 6:03 p.m. Motioned and seconded to go into executive session at 6:10 p.m. Exited at 6:26 p.m. Motioned and seconded to enter into structured negotiations regarding AMC Theaters. Motion to ratify the vote on the web project contractor. The Conference and Convention Committee will be meeting on June 26 to discuss the various sites that are being considered for the 2015 CCB Conference and Convention. They will bring forward a recommendation for a vote at the next meeting. An open board meeting will be scheduled between June 27 through 30 to discuss the suggested venues put forth by the Conference and Convention Committee, and a board vote will be taken. The announcement regarding the board meeting will be in the June 13, 2014 edition of the California Connection. The meeting was adjourned at 6:33 p.m. Respectfully submitted, Vita Zavoli, board member. Board meeting, June 29, 2014. The meeting was called to order by President Donna Pomerantz at 6:05 p.m. Absent, Directors Hanlon, Ross. Members of the public, Keith Johnson, Margie Donovan, Ken and Pam Metz, Albert Contreras, Mitch Pomerantz, Annette Carter, Mike Keithley, Phil and Debbie O'Bregan, Pam Pelagi, Steph Aminoff, Mona Craig, Jason Holloway, Frank Welt, Tuan Yen. Donna reminded us of conference call etiquette. In her opening remarks, Donna thanked everyone for being on the call and assured us this would be the first of many open board conference call meetings to come. She said the board had been wanting to do this for some time. She thanked outgoing board members David Jackson and David Hanlon. David Jackson for his support and energetic ongoing participation for the strategic plan. David Hanlon, who was dealing with health issues, for his chairing the committee concerning hearing impairment issues. She thanked everyone for all their support during her time as president. She stated she would continue working hard for the organization and the board. She will work on projects Jeff has asked her to continue with. She once again thanked the organization for her CCB Life membership. She said she would continue working together on programs moving the organization forward. In closing, she thanked Mitch for being there every day. Conference Convention Committee Report, Chair Eugene Lozano. Gene updated us on the hotel selection process for 2015 conference convention. He described the three bids the committee seriously considered. He reminded us that for the past 9 years or so, we've divided the state in half, north-south, roughly in the Fresno-Bakersfield area. For the past few years, we've used the services of Conference Direct to submit proposals to hotels. We've had a good working relationship with them. Because of size, they can negotiate better deals. Including recommendations from our members, they targeted 32 hotels. We got 8 responses, which the committee narrowed to 4. The board approved room costs up to $120 and a food beverage maximum of $15,000 all-inclusive. In late May, the committee decided to visit 4. The Hilton Woodland Hills LAX International Crown Plaza, which we've been to before, San Diego Marriott, La Jolla and Ontario Airport Conference Center, which pulled out just before the committee's trip. Overview of costs. LAX Crown Plaza rate $121, food beverage $19,600, San Diego Marriott $112 and $15,000, though our dates weren't available, so the rate would be $145. The committee recommends the Hilton Woodland Hills with a room rate of $99 and the minimum food beverage of $15,000, dates April 16 to 19. The hotel would include a 20% discount at their restaurants and keep both open for all 3 meals. We would have to sign a waiver for our hospitality suite. Shuttle costs are high, but paratransit can be used from the airports. It also had the best dog relief area, though there is a challenge getting to it. Margie Donovan, GDUC's representative on the committee, supported this recommendation. Discussion. It was suggested we try negotiating for 2017 as well. Margie will bring to GDUC guidelines for use in future site considerations. Lots of questions and input. Jean reminded us of all that goes into negotiating a deal. Dates. Lower for Mother's Day. Exhibit hall considerations, restaurant options, wireless options. Some discussion of the hospitality issue. The hotel will allow us to bring in liquor. We must sign a waiver. Technically, those under 21 are not allowed. Linda Pirelli wanted the record to reflect that people under 21 would not be welcome in the hospitality suite. Vita asked for other rates, suggesting that the savings in transportation might be worth it. Jean reminded us of all the complex considerations. The other serious candidate hotel would charge $19,600 for food and beverages. Lena moved and Jeff seconded the motion to accept the committee's recommendation of the Hilton Woodland Hills Hotel and, if beneficial, to negotiate a deal for 2017. Vote unanimous. Jean thanked his selection committee, Dan Smith, CCCLV, Peter Pardini, Treasurer and Exhibit Hall Chair, Margie Donovan, GDUC, immediate past President Jeff Tom, and ex officio member Donna, for all her support for the past 4 years. Vita asks that all documents relating to guide dog issues be reviewed by GDUC. Margie stated that, of course, all policy issues would be reviewed by GDUC. Donna said such issues would be only one part of what, hopefully, would become a manual to guide future selection efforts. She then thanked Jean for all his hard work and said when she started, she had no idea how many little pieces affected the whole apple cart. Treasurer's Report. Peter Bardini gave a brief report. Period January 1st through May 31st, 2014. Total income, $78,722. Expenses, $85,802. Difference, minus $8,080. Other income, investments, $16,012. Difference, $7,932. CEA fund balance, $28,146. We've received the engagement letter for the 2013 audit. Fieldwork will be conducted July 28th. We'll receive a draft no later than September 2nd, 2014. The cost is $9,750, only $250 more than last year. There will be a budget finance meeting in August. Mitch commented that our investments are up $7,000 above the last reporting period. Peter thanked Donna for all her hard work and assistance. Donna said they had always had open communications. Jeff moved and many seconded acceptance of the treasurer's report. Vote unanimous. Strategic plan update. Donna Pomerantz. Donna reported we now have a draft timeline with dates and content clarifications. Artis has input this material into our strategic plan document. She shared the four main goals. Number one, implement resource development strategies to end the erosion of our resources. Number two, review organizational structures and functions to implement efficiencies and enhance provision of services. Number three, increase membership and strengthen local chapters and affiliates. Number four, discern the implementations of going to one conference and convention and to construct strategies to address these issues. She and Jeff have heard from new board members about how they wish to serve. She and Jeff are still tightening up loose ends. Each goal area will need several additional participants. She reported that we have already completed a few items in the plan. Public comment, Mitch Pomerantz. Food for thought for the board predicated on earlier issues about hotels and hospitality. The day is fast approaching when chapters running hospitality suites will end. This is happening on the national level and will probably happen here. The board needs to deal with this. The good news? We might be in a position to strike a deal with the hotel to hire a bartender against our F&B costs. If we play it right, we might mitigate our F&B costs. Pam Balaghi. Two things. Thanks to Donna for her presidency. Thanks to the board for allowing members on the calls. Donna asked for thoughts on what went well and what could be improved. We adjourned at 7:47 p.m. Board meeting, July 27, 2014. The meeting was called to order at 6:04 p.m. by President Jeff Tom. All officers and directors were present. Members of the public, Steve Aminoff, Ken Metz, Pam Balaghi, Gabe Griffith, Phil and Debbie O'Brien, Annette Carter. The agenda was approved. Number 1, call to order. Number 2, roll call and introductions. Number 3, review of agenda. Number 4, approval of minutes for February 10, April 6, April 10, June 11, and June 29. Number 5, treasurer's report. Number 6, discussion of 2017 hotel bid. Number 7, website contract update. Number 8, public comment. Approval of minutes. Roger moved and Lena seconded the motion to approve minutes. The understanding is all non-substantive clarifications for all minutes will be made. The motion carried with 2 abstentions. Abstention discussion. A discussion of how to deal with abstentions followed. Jean thought it was policy to record names. Judy said that in light of a recent discussion, the result of which was that no clear policy demanded it, she decided not to record those names. Roger agreed that in voice votes, such records are not necessary. Jean asked that the auditors be asked for clarification on this matter. Gabe Griffith said that while he was secretary, in general he had noted the number but not the names. Donna supported asking the auditors. There was no motion, but all agreed. Lena moved and Linda seconded a motion to approve the minutes for April 6. Donna noted she added corrections which, in fact, had accidentally not been sent. When sent, her corrections for all minutes will be incorporated. The motion carried with 3 abstentions. Roger moved and Artis seconded a motion to approve the pre-convention board minutes of April 10, 2014. The motion passed with 2 abstentions. Lena moved and Roger seconded the motion to approve the minutes of July 11. The motion passed with 3 abstentions. Artis moved and Lena seconded a motion to approve the minutes of June 29. The motion passed with 3 abstentions. In connection with these minutes, discussion followed as to the reiteration by Bernice Kandarian on hers and Kathy Skiver's behalf that appropriate records be attached when referenced in the minutes. Discussion concerned whether to attach or paste such reports or records, whether to reference records or reports if they were already attached to earlier minutes. Donna moved and Roger seconded a motion that beginning with the minutes of February 10, 2014, all relevant reports or records will be appended, pasted to, the end of any set of minutes which reference them. Vote unanimous. Notwithstanding the motion, it was also agreed, but not in a formal motion, to ask our auditors about the necessity of this policy. Treasurer's Report. Peter's report covered the period January 1, 2014 through July 15, 2014. Income, $82,201. Expenses, $98,673. Other income, $16,012. Income less expenses, minus $460. Balance sheet total assets ending July 15, $1,065,770. Discussion. Frank asked if these reports will only include the bottom line. He would like more detail. Jeff thought it is helpful to have this update at each board meeting, even if somewhat brief. Donna reminded us that this is a new feature to have reports at every board meeting, and we need to work out how much detail would be good. Donna moved and Artis seconded the motion to accept the treasurer's report. The motion passed with 1 no vote. Judy asked when we could expect to receive the revised report, which the board originally received at the pre-convention board meeting. Peter said in a couple of weeks. Report of Convention Hotel Selection Committee for 2017 site. Jeff reminded us that we have agreed to a contract for 2015 with Woodland Hills and to pursue contract for 2017. Jean described the differences with the proposed 2017 contract. Donna described the visit by several members, including GDUC's representative Margie Donovan, to the hotel in regard to the guide dog relief area issues. All members were satisfied with the solutions the group worked out. Jean reminded us that Margie, in conjunction with GDUC, will be working on user information for guide dog handlers, which should be available before arrival at the convention. Jean said the committee is asking for two motions, one to approve contract negotiations and the other to approve dates. Differences: room rate, 2015, $99, 2017, $105, food and beverage, 2015, $15,000, 2017, $16,000. F or B amount, all inclusive. Jean then gave actual meal costs. The dates are set in 2015 for April 16 to 19. Two sets of dates in 2017 are option 1, April 5 to 10, including a Monday should we choose to use it, but April 9 is Palm Sunday. Option 2, April 19 to 24, including a Monday, but that day is the final day of Passover. Jean moved and Judy seconded a motion to proceed with the contract for 2017. Discussion. Judy started that given increasing costs, this is a very good contract. Vince asked about the issues of 20% reduction on restaurant costs and the hospitality room setup. Jean explained that the 2017 contract has exactly the same provisions as the 2015 contract. Yes to 20% and no change in hospitality room issues. Jeff urged passage because they are only holding our dates until the end of July. Public comment. Gabe, these increases don't seem unreasonable. Jean said Elaine, our negotiator, said these rates are very reasonable. The motion passed unanimously. Judy moved and Jean seconded a motion to negotiate a contract for the dates April 19 to 24. Discussion. Ken clarified the Passover date. Roger wanted to make sure that those who arrive early, Wednesday, and stay through Sunday get the same rates. Jeff said they would. Jean reiterated that if we used Monday, Monday night would not be included. Unanimous vote. Convention evaluation. Jean gave a convention evaluation update. Overwhelming approval for continuing the tracks sessions. We need more tracks, more participation. We need to use Thursday more efficiently. Convention 2016. Roger asked if we have any information about 2016. Jeff said those negotiations would begin as soon as we complete these 2015 and 2017 contracts. Jean said Elaine would begin putting out RFPs at the beginning of September. Peter suggested once again seeking a 2-year agreement, and Jean agreed this could be possible. Donna pointed out that we're not locked into anything about the number of years. Frank brought up a proposal he has presented about having 2 consecutive years in Southern California and moving the Northern California Convention to an odd-numbered year, since that would be the first year of the legislative session when we are more likely to have an impact and time for our bills. It would also give us a chance to build attendance in Southern California, where more of our members reside. Jeff said we have time and could renew this discussion at a future board meeting. Jean reminded us that such a measure could have constitution and bylaws ramifications. We need to check relevant sections first. Donna suggested we leave this issue to the convention committee to investigate whether it is feasible to move in this direction. Jeff said he will consult with Jean and Gabe and bring a report back to the next meeting as to what would have to happen to make such a change. Website contract update. Vita gave a quick history, saying Annette Carter was hired June 2014 to change the platform of our website to Drupal. The project has started. She is 1 month into the project. She has to install modules, create settings. She has installed Drupal and our backup. By the end of August, the TOG should be able to begin testing. See Appendix 1 for the report. Public comment. Annette Carter loved the tracks and asked if it would be possible to go to all of them. The answer is no. Linda was congratulated on her daughter's film at a conference on arts in the schools, which will be presented on August 13, then YouTube. The meeting adjourned at 7:45 p.m. Board meeting September 4, 2014. President Jeff Tom called the meeting to order at 7:04 p.m. All board members were present. Introduction of the public: Steve Aminoff, Margie Donovan, Ken and Pam Metz, Ken Stewart, Pam Pelagi. Agenda. Number 1, roll call. Number 2, review of agenda. Number 3, decision about signing on to a letter from GDUC to the governor pertaining to Mr. Don Brown. Number 4, discussion of next steps regarding Resolution 2013-B6, Guide Dog Users of California. Number 5, calling out of BART train station stops. Number 6, update on strategic plan. Number 7, audit update. Number 8, public comment. Number 9, adjournment. A request to have approval of minutes and a Muttstrut update added. Judy moved and Frank seconded approval of the agenda. Motion unanimous. Artist moved and Linda seconded the motion to approve the minutes of July 29, 2014. Motion unanimous. GDUC letter to Governor Frank and Margie Donovan discussed the fact that so far as we can tell, Margie checks frequently, no progress has been made by the Secretary of State against the entity requesting incorporation under the name Guide Dog Users of California. GDUC asks the CCB to sign on to its letter to the governor. Donna moved and Robert seconded a motion to sign on to the letter. In discussion, a friendly amendment was accepted to add a sentence suggesting that we had approached the Guide Dog Board of California regarding our concern and that the board rejected our outreach. Motion unanimous. Next steps for Resolution 2013-B6. The concern was raised whether the board or convention itself should deal with what action to take against Don Brown for his efforts to incorporate an entity using GDUC's name. Gabe Griffith, chair of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, spoke, and Frank, president of GDUC, agreed with his analysis that final authority about action against an individual member lies with the convention. A wide-ranging discussion followed. Should a committee be appointed to investigate our concern with Mr. Brown as to whether sufficient evidence to take action against him as a member of CCB? Should he be allowed to testify? Could the committee then recommend action to the convention? Frank Welty moved and Judy Wilkinson seconded. The president, in consultation with the board, would create a committee to investigate the conduct of Mr. Don Brown according to the procedures outlined in Robert's Rules of Order, which could include holding a hearing. Then the committee would return findings to the board with a recommendation regarding action to be taken at the Spring Conference Convention with reference to Resolution 2013-B6. Discussion followed. Vita, how are committees generally appointed? She suggested adding the phrase, as it relates to the incorporation of GDUC. Linda, should it be an ad hoc committee? What could we investigate that we do not already know? Peter, should the motion reference the resolution? Jeff raised a concern. What are we really going to discover? If we want to make a recommendation to the convention, we must have a hearing at the convention. Is that worth convention time? He would have no problem writing some kind of reprimand, given what we would have to do to go through hoops. Vita, I believe the reason the motion was put forward is because we don't have anything in our Constitution relating to expulsion. Robert says we must have a committee and a hearing. Donna, about recommending to the convention, the board can recommend anything. Frank. My take on this is that while our Constitution clearly states the Convention has ultimate power regarding expulsion or suspension, it doesn't say anything else about the disciplinary process, so Roberts fills in that gap. If we don't do that, anyone at the Convention could move to take it up. Jeff disagrees. The Convention would need its own hearing. Artis, even though Brown filed, he has not taken follow-up steps. Yes, he could follow through or relapse, but he cannot pull it back. At this point, he either must pay the fine and then make an effort to disincorporate. Gene doesn't recall the Constitution article giving grounds for an individual to be suspended. What would they use for a benchmark? He never remembers anyone being suspended. Just the impeachment of Bob Acosta. There was a hearing during the convention, no committee. Rita, this is really an action toward an affiliate discrediting GDUC. It does not affect CCB directly. The convention resolution shows the membership believes this issue is very important. Donna, what will the committee find? She agrees with Lady and fellow members. Wait until after the time is up. Margie Donovan was asked to shed some light. The year is up on September 11. There is no definite deadline as to when the Secretary of State will relinquish the name. The public. Margie encourages support. As recently as May, during GDUC candidate forum, Don lied about this. We need a report and to make a recommendation. Artis's amendment, which Paul Pache seconded, viewed as unfriendly. A committee would compile an informational report on the events regarding Resolution 2013-B6 and the actions of Don Brown and report back and make recommendations to the board. Discussion of Artis's amendment. Donna supports the spirit in which the amendment was made but would urge not to adopt the amendment. Ask GDUC to compile a report and bring it back to the board. Jean asked whether Judy and Roger's dealings with GDUC is relevant. Judy and Donna agreed the two acted as board representatives and made recommendations to the board about GDUC. Vita, we still need to speak to the Constitution Bylaws Chair. The board cannot make a recommendation to the convention. Roberts. Jeff. Frank and I differ where the hearing issue is concerned. The board can pursue this matter. Frank. My perspective. The resolution has the board working with GDUC to work through the activities regarding this matter has been successful so far. Now, with the final resolve about disciplining individuals, the proper procedure is through Roberts. A committee and a hearing is part of the disciplinary process. The entire motion should stand, not just a report. The amendment passed 8 yes, 4 no's, 2 abstentions. Jeff, yes. Jean, yes. Roger, no vote recorded. Judy, no. Peter, yes. Donna, yes. Artis, yes. Vince, no. Lena, abstain. Paul, yes. Linda, yes. John, abstain. Frank, no. Robert, yes. Vita, no. Discussion. Donna, we do not have the right to deny a hearing before the convention. There would be a hearing there. With the passage of Artis's amendment, the amendment became the motion and passed unanimously. Thus, Frank's motion was defeated. BART train stops. Gene stated that Mr. Alec Carpy, an O&M instructor with the Vista Center, requests assistance in making BART comply with calling out stops on a consistent basis. In 2010, they agreed to train operators to make 3 announcements: nearing the station, entering the station, when doors open. The BART administration agreed, but have reneged. The practice has not been enforced, and there are complaints. The train speakers often don't work, or the volume is too low, or they do not do all 3 announcements. The Vista Center wants something done. They are asking DRA to enter structured negotiations. Before making a commitment, they want to document complaints. Gene is our contact with DRA. As an organization, we've gotten complaints. We need to gather facts. We'll put something in the connection so people will call to fill out the questionnaire. Also, we have been asked to have members who frequently ride BART to work with Jeff and Jean in keeping a diary for 2 weeks. We do not need to await an official announcement from DRA. Contact directly Layla Ogabian at 510-665-8716. After they get input, DRA will be able to make a decision whether there is sufficient support to enter structured negotiations. Jean continued stating that BART plans to begin replacing trains in 2017, which will have automated technology to make such announcements, and drivers would add only if there were problems. Let Jeff know if you can keep a diary. Linda pointed out that automated systems have their own problems. San Francisco's Muni often says the system is broken. Jean agreed that there are often problems related to ambient noise. Strategic plan update. Jeff stated the goal is to talk with people so he can make appointments to the task forces. He hopes to complete this before the end of September, even if we do not have a full complement. A discussion followed as to where and how to present the goals to the membership. Linda and Judy shared the suggestion to put them in the BC, unless the board decided otherwise. Peter asked why we couldn't braille the few braille copies we might need in-house. The board agreed this would not be feasible and to go ahead and publish goals as space is available in the BC beginning with the fall issue. Audit update. Peter described the exit conference with the auditors, Vince, Donna, Peter, and Jeff. One topic was which documents could be digitalized and which must be kept in hard copy. Other issues concern formalizing things like what percent of, say, the Newell Perry Fund could be drawn upon. The auditor also wanted clarification of account procedures for the CEA and scholarship funds, restricted cash and investment accounts to be reconciled quarterly. They asked about our board decision to attach reports referred to in the minutes. The auditors felt this was good practice. Jean asked about our car donation status. Peter said we recorded gross income from car donations. We can't control how the car folks keep their books. The auditor didn't have a problem of how we deal with this. Donna added that the things Peter mentioned will improve any negative findings. Each year, we're doing better. Vita raised the issue of a group ID for 501c3 status. We need a group ID for chapters, so chapters won't use CCB's ID. Jeff said the board may want to make a decision on this matter. He stated that if a chapter wants its own ID, it needs corporate status. He said we could have a group ID without the liability as we currently do. Judy asked if we could still ask the auditors about the voice vote issue. Do we need to identify no's and abstains? She also asked about the revised treasurer's report and budget, which the board requested at the spring convention. Peter said we would definitely have those soon. Judy moved and Artis seconded the motion to accept the report. Vote unanimous. Mudstrut update. Sacramento has 46 registered and LA 35. Total revenue, Sacramento $7,560, LA First Giving $8,355. Donna gave more complete information about numbers of teams and total numbers of fundraisers and service clubs and other volunteers. Public comment. Pam Balaghi asked about whether we could have an agreement for a shopping cart with Albertsons. Jeff said Pam should keep reminding us to look into that. Robert said that another board he was on had agreement with Bonds, Albertsons, and Ralphs. So we should be able to do this. We adjourned at 9:04 p.m.